The sermon title today is The Intended. The Intended. The word intend means to plan, a plan, or a purpose. To intend to do something. Intended is one who is the prospective wife or the prospective husband, that they are in the one that is intended. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 today. Now we're going to go to Ephesians 2 and verse 10, and we're going to share there. We're going to leave there, but eventually we're going to come back to that point. So Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it's a beautiful scripture. Well, all of chapter 2 is a beautiful portion of scripture. But when you look at verse 10, in verse 10 it says this, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." Now listen to the words, "which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Everyone born on this earth are created for a purpose. You have a God purpose in your life. No one is born by accident. So turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. A scripture that you've heard many, many times over the years. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1. I gotta find it myself. So chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck what is planted." So when you look at the beginning of verse 1, it says, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven." So no one is born by accident. A time for every purpose under heaven, an all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere present God does not do anything. Listen to me. He does not do anything by accident. And no one in this church and no one on this earth is an accident. You're planned with a plan. You're born with a plan. You have a God plan and a God purpose. Each and every one of you today has a God plan and a God purpose in your life. You're born for that person, for that purpose, for this such a time. You were meant to be born walking this earth during this time because there's people that you can touch with the gospel of Jesus Christ that no one else will touch. That's why you're here, is to reach people for the gospel, to enlarge the life of Jesus, for you to come to the knowledge of the truth and know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. And there's a lot in Jeremiah that we could read, but we won't read that much today. But in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, it says this, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." In other words, God knew you before you were even conceived. God knew you before you were even thought about on this earth. He says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Well, if God knew Jeremiah before he was even in the womb, he also knew you before you were in the womb. That no one is born by accident. Everybody is born with a plan and a purpose in their life. And what we try to do is get people to recognize that in their life, don't we? We want everyone to recognize that I've been born, I am planted on this earth by an all-sovereign God, and He has a plan and He has a purpose for me while I am here. It's not to go to school, to graduate, to go to work every day and pay bills every day and make sure you got enough insurance to bury you when you die. That's not what life is about. Our life is about Jesus Christ and our Lord and Savior and serving God and worshiping God and have a relationship with God, because until you do, you will never have fulfillment in life. Young people don't recognize that because they are young. Well, I've got so much time and I want to do this, and I want to do that, and I want to do this over there. And the adversary always is dangling the carrot out in front of him. Here, if you achieve this, you're going to have satisfaction. If you achieve this, you're going to have peace. I'm telling you right now, that from the day, the age that you are right now, I don't care if you live to be 199 years old. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you will never find peace, and you will never find fulfillment, and you will never have satisfaction in this world today. Amen?
Amen.
That's the way it is. Because we are born for a relationship with God. We are created in His image. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You're supposed to have that relationship with God in your life. So before you were conceived, God knew you. He knew you, who you would be, your emotions, the person that you would be, and what you would be like. The part of you that makes you unlike everyone else. Maybe some people around you don't appreciate that, but God does. Because you're uniquely made, wonderfully and fearfully, as we look at that scripture today. There is nobody else like you in the world. No one else like you. And because you are the way that you are, and God has created you the way that you are, you can touch people that Pastor Leo would never touch. I remember that when Carol and Leo were called to the ministry, and you've heard this story before, we had an evangelist come in. And he got up, and man, he was speaking, and he'd go scripture and scripture and scripture, and he'd go on and on, and I mean, he was really powerful, and I said to myself, in my spirit, I said, Lord, I can never preach like that man. He says, I'm not calling you. The Spirit just bounced right back to me. I'm not calling you to be like him. I'm calling you to be like you, because you will touch people he will never touch. Because that's how it's supposed to work in the expansion of the gospel in the world in which we live in today. The part of you that makes you unlike everyone else, God knows just exactly what you're like. Turn with me to Psalms 139. Psalms 139. Psalms 139 is a beautiful, beautiful psalm. If you believe in underlining in your Bible, there's several things that you should have underlined in Psalms 139. But if you look at very quickly at the verse 13 and 14 to begin with, in verse 13 it says, For you formed me my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, each and every one of you. You're unique. God made you and He broke the mold. There's not going to be another one like you. Rather than saying, oh, I'm so stupid, I am so dumb, I have nothing to offer, woe is me, start praising God for how He created you to be. Amen. Because there is no one else like you. Remember me telling you that story about the boys, when they were younger, it wasn't I have it or he has it, I gots it, right? You remember that? So when we stopped by the garbage can, I said, one of you boys get out and get the garbage can. And little Leo says, rather than Andrew has it, he says, Andrew's gotst it. So that's always kind of been a favorite phrase of mine, you gotst it. So when I say you get it, you say what? I gotst it, okay? So do you get it? You gotst it. You are wonderfully and fearfully made in the image of God. There is no one like you. You are special. You are special. You get it? I got it, okay. So you're made in the image, created by God, fearfully and wonderfully made. Hallelujah, I am created by God. I am created by God. I am created by God for God. For God. He has a divine plan and purpose for my life. This is the appointed time I am supposed to be on this earth. Yes, you and I are the intended of God. Yes, you were intended by God to be born and to be on this earth right now for this generation, for this time. And since, yes, you are the intended of God, there is a God plan and a God purpose for your life. So I'm going to say that again. There is a God plan and there is a God purpose for your life. You getst it?
I gotst
it. There is a God plan and a God purpose for each and every one of us. And I praise God that God led me and I stumbled into His plan and His purpose for my life and Carol's life, that we would be ministers of the gospel, that we would be able to share the gospel in the capacity that we have. Now listen to me, and you've heard me say it before, your best years in Jesus are ahead of you. They are not behind you. Your best years in the Lord are ahead of you. So many times we say, well, I'm getting 70 years old. I need to sit down. I may not jump tall buildings like I used to, but I need to be about my Father's business until the Lord calls me home or the Lord takes me home, because your best years ahead of you are ahead of you. They are not behind you, and it doesn't make any difference if you're 15 or you're 85. Your best years are ahead of you. Think about it. We're going to leave this place and walk on the streets of glory. Amen. We're going to walk on streets of gold. Yeah. Hallelujah. We're going to walk in a place where the Son, and His name is Jesus, is the light. Hallelujah. That's the place that we are looking forward to. God is always working to bring you into awareness of His plan and His purpose. Look at Psalms 139 and look at verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down, my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all of my ways. Hallelujah. You say, nobody can love me. God loves you. He created you the way He created you. He says here, I am acquainted with all of your ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You have hedged me behind and before, and you laid your hand upon me. Such wonder knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. You cannot attain the knowledge of God and what He thinks of you. You cannot contain the love of God and how much that He loves for you. You cannot contain it. You know, everything that we have done in our life, God knows every one of those things, and it's recorded. He knows it. He knows it. He knows our downfalling. He knows our uprising. He knows the mistakes we made. And all through that, He forgives us, because through the Lord Jesus Christ, I am seated with Christ in the heavenly place. Hallelujah. I am seated with Christ. I am sealed for the day of redemption. I belong to Jesus. I don't belong to Joe Biden. I don't belong to this world. I belong to Jesus. He's my Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. He knows your strengths. He knows your weaknesses. He understands your likes, and like no other one, nobody else can. Have you ever tried to explain something that is difficult to share? And maybe it's something of a personal nature you're trying to share with your spouse. Something hard to explain. Something hard to understand. I tried to say something to Carol and said, well, maybe you're just not going to understand this. Maybe I can't explain it right. I say this, and Carol said, well, is this what you're trying to say? No, that's not what I mean. That's not what I mean. I cannot communicate exactly what my feelings are, and take my feelings sometimes and put it in communication. You know, with the Lord, you don't even have to put it in communication. He already knows. He understands. God knows and understands before you even try to put it into words. That's why we can always come to God with everything, because God understands right where we are at. This God plan and God purpose He has for your life, God is always working to get you to step into it. The question is, have you? Have you stepped into the life God has purpose for you? Isn't it amazing? People will live their whole lives and never step into the life that God has purposed for them. Think about that just for a moment. People will live their whole lives and they will never step into the life that God has purposed for them. If you're older, when you accepted the Lord Jesus, you say to yourself, why didn't I do that a long time ago? But God is always working to bring you into awareness of it. Now look at verse 7 of Psalms 139. Where can I go from your spirit? there is no place that you can go that you can run from God. He goes on to say, where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascended into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. Hallelujah. So you can say, I'm walking away from this God thing. I'm walking away from the presence of God. I don't want to be bothered by that anymore. I'm going to go to this deserted island. I'm going to be all by myself. And when you get there, you're going to find out the Lord is already there. You can't run from it. God's plan and God's purpose. People spend their whole lives running from the Spirit of God. But there is nowhere that we can go to hide. So what is God's plan and what is God's purpose? And I'll give you three very simple steps. You've heard me say them before, and you've heard me say it. Number one is for you to be saved, for you to come to the knowledge of the truth. Everyone on this earth, none have been born to go to hell, but all have been born to go to heaven. You got it? Oh, you forget so quick. Everyone is born to go to heaven. No one has been born to go to hell. Turn with me to Scripture in Timothy. I don't have it written down, but we'll find it. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, who desires all peoples, it just says men, it desires everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God's desire for you is what? To be saved. If you want to do God's will in your life, you're going to do what? Step one, I'm going to get saved. I'm going to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. That's step one. He says here, he says, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So there's only one person we can go to, and that's Jesus. There's no other salvation. If you're going to leave this place and you're going to go to a place that you think is called heaven, and most people do believe in heaven, and most people do believe that they're going there, even though they may never have accepted Jesus. They believe that philosophy, if I'm a good person, I do good things, I do nice things, I know that I'm going to go to heaven. The Scripture does not say that. You must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven, and only through Jesus can you be born again. It's not through crystal power. It's not through Muhammad. It's not through this. It's not through Buddha. It's not through this over here. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can say, well, Pastor Leo, maybe you got it wrong. Can I prove to you that I got it right? I can take you to the Scripture and prove to you that I've got it right, because Jesus died, Jesus went in the grave, and Jesus was resurrected again. That's how I know He's the only one that you can be saved through. So it's only through Jesus. Step number one is to be born again, to be saved. Step number two is to become more like Christ. The work of sanctification, allowing the work of sanctification in your life through the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the written Word. Get yourself involved in the Word of God. You want to grow in God? Then grow in the Word. Grow in the Word. You want to grow in Jesus? Then grow in the Word. You need to be involved in the Word of God. So number one is to be born again. Number two is to become more Christ-like. He says He will finish that work that He has started in your life. Number three is to tell other people. That's everybody. That's Pastor Leo's job. That's Pastor Carol's job. I am not excluded from this. Well, you've been called to a pastor, so you can skip one, two, and three? No, I don't think so. Everyone, step one. Everyone, step two, and everyone, step three. And there's something that I will do for the rest of my life. And what is that? Step two, grow in Jesus, and number three is tell other people. I will do that for the rest of my life. Now, whatever God capacity that calls you to, no matter what He calls you to, you will always be doing step number two and step number three the rest of your life at whatever capacity that He calls you to. He may call you to be a preacher. He may call you to be a missionary. He may call you to be a teacher. Whatever, you're still always doing step two and three. You will always be growing and learning. And the Holy Spirit will always be leading you to share your faith with other people. Now, this is where it gets serious, because 99.9% of the people in this room probably know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. There's too many people that come to the knowledge of the truth and know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but still want nothing to do with God's plan and God's purpose in their life. God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. Are you living it? Are you living it? You heard me say 2 weeks ago, the church, when you think about it, the church is never to stop growing. Ever. Because who you reach, they will reach somebody else. Who they reach, they will reach somebody else. The church is never supposed to stop growing. You know why the church is not growing like the church should be in America today? Because people that know Jesus Christ are trying to keep it to themselves, and they're not living God's purpose, and they're not living God's plan in their life. That's an honest to God fact. This nation has gone down the tube because of the church, because the Christian has not been willing to stand up for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And church, we need to start standing up. Amen. We need to start standing up. It doesn't matter what the world says or no matter what the world does. We are going to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ, because we are going to live God's plan and we are going to live God's purpose for our lives and for this church. Amen? Amen. You get it? Okay, so now go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. I got to go. We got to fly. Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to go back to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. We're going to go back to 2, but we're going to go all the way back to verse 1. Now, verse 1 through 3, I'm going to read that to you. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. You've heard me say that before. God is not in the business of making good people out of bad people. He's in the business of making live people out of dead people, because you were dead in your trespasses and sins. He goes on, in which, verse 2, you were once walked according to the course of this world. That's what your life used to be before you come to Jesus. You know, in the book of Matthew, it talks about there's a wide gate and there's a narrow gate. And it's narrow the way, and wide is the way that the world is walking through, but narrow is the path that leads us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what a lot of Christians are doing? Because they're not living God's plan, they're not living God's purpose, they're trying to go through both gates at the same time. You can't do that, can you? Jesus says in that scripture in Matthew, you can't love God and mammon. You can't do it. You can't love this world and love Jesus at the same time. It does not work. So he goes on to say that you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. Verse 1 through 3 gives us a picture. It shows us a picture of someone, us, when we were walking according to our plan and our purpose in life. That's the picture you get. This is the way that the world walks. It walks according to it, their plan and their purpose. Now, verse 4 through 10, let's read it. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, and not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So verse 1 through 3 shows us, when we're still in the world, we're walking according to our own plan and our own purpose. And verse 4 through 10 shows us a picture of someone who says, my plan and my purpose in life is not working. It will not work. You get it? It will not work. Your plan and your purpose in life apart from God will not work. And I could have everyone stand up here and give the testimony of how they tried it in their own life and how it did not work. It does not work. It will not work. It cannot work because you are created in whose image? Joe Biden's? No, you're created in the image of God. So apart from God, your plan, your purpose doesn't work. Your plan, that God's plan and God's purpose works because then you're joined together with your Heavenly Father. You're yoked together with the Lord Jesus. I need God's plan and His purpose in my life. Are you today living out God's plan and His purpose for your life? It can be very simple, can't it? It's not that everyone's going to be preachers or everybody's going to be teachers. You know, being a good mother and a good father is an awful good plan that God has for America. And there's a lot of people that have failed that. Being a good father, being a good mother, Mother's Day is to be celebrated. It should be recognized on the highest hill in the United States because we've got so many kids in these inner cities that are raised by their mother and their mother only, and we've got kids coming out of school in these inner cities that cannot read and cannot write and cannot do math. And we are interjecting in this into this world. We need good mothers. We need good fathers led by God to share with their children. But there may be other things that God has a plan for you and a purpose for you, and He will unfold that after you do 1, 2, and 3. Number one, I accept Jesus. Number two, I allow Jesus to enlarge His life into me. In other words, I'm going to be transformed into the image of Jesus, sanctification. And number three, I'm going to tell others. You know, after that, God may have something else for you to do. It starts with knowing Jesus. And do you know Him? Have you tried your plan? And did it work? Let's pray. Father, we come before You today in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank You for this time. We thank You for this word. We pray that in the name of Jesus and only a way that You do, that You'd sweep over this place and speak to the heart. Lord, Your word says that no matter where we go, no matter how far away we get, no matter how much we try to hide, we cannot hide from Your Holy Spirit. And Your Holy Spirit is in this place right now. If there's anyone that is trying to live out their own purpose rather than Your purpose, right now the Holy Spirit is speaking that into their heart and to their life that they need to come to You. Individual, you need to know that that's just not your thought that you're thinking that. It's the Holy Spirit speaking that into your life, that you need to come to Him. You need to know Him as Lord and Savior of your life. While every eye is closed and every head is bowed, whether there be one by the signifying of the upraised hand, I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want to make sure. I want to make sure. Praise God for that. While you got your eyes closed and your head bowed, are you living out God's plan and God's purpose in your life? He wants to speak that to your heart. And I think there's some people that are in here that would say, no, He's not, and I'm not allowing Him to. You need to allow Him. If you're going to have peace, you need to allow God to live out His plan and His purpose in your life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Father, we rejoice in this day that You have given us to come out and to praise and to lift up Your name. And we pray that, Lord, as we go our separate ways, that, Father, You would open the windows of heaven and pour out it upon these faithful believers. And we ask it today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you are dismissed.